Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Cinephile, you're listening and watching Big Fred Venice live from the... Is it live? It's live. From the 78th Venice International Film Festival. I'm Matt Micucci and this is not Michele Comotti. Who is it?
Definitely not. I'm Angela Cerbi. Hello, everybody.
Angela Cerbi,
I'm definitely really much older than Michele Comotti, unfortunately for me.
Well, you are, but you are officially the face of Fred. I'm sure that the viewers have seen you interview... Lots of great guests.
Well, but you are one of the faces of Fred as well.
I don't know. I'm the arm of Fred. Or another part
you
of...
You are
not
the runner
the
of Fred because you run up and down the Lido to do interviews.
Yes, I cycle.
You cycle,
yeah,
right.
First thing I do when I get to the Lido is I get my bicycle.
I did the same.
It. Do you still do it or bus?
Yeah. No, I do.
Well, Angelo, it's the first time you're here, so we're very happy. We say goodbye to Niccolò Comotti. We speak your name. And we see you. Seeing as you're here, and this is the first time, before we begin to talk about the films that have been playing recently, what has been a highlight of yours?
Well, I have two highlights, one of two different, completely different genre.
Ooh.
I love the Pedro Almodovar film.
Parallel Mothers
a lot, because it's the typical Pedro Almodovar movie, but it has this political side of it, which is really strong and really defined. It makes a statement very clear, which is really important for Spain and really important for his filmography, all together, because he never did this. So
Wonderful. This
is a good thing. And another one of my highlights is Last Night in Soho.
Wow,
which is a completely different kind of film. It's a very fun ride.
Federica, our social media manager, agrees.
I know, she loved it. And it was actually really, really, really fun. And it was a very divisive movie, though, because I talked with many people who hated it with their guts. Well, and other ones that loved it to death. So it's something that either you enter and you let yourself go, otherwise you just lose it.
And how cool was it of Edgar Wright to make a documentary about Sparks? I still can't get over it.
I know, God, I haven't seen that yet.
Me neither, but...
No, you know, it was released in Italy, 2 days?
Oh.
The 30th and the 31st of August when we were here, so...
I used to like Edgar Wright, but just because of that, now I love Edgar Wright. So I'm a big fan.
Yeah, he loves music a lot, the guy.
Yeah, he knows his music. Baby Driver. So much music in that... Anyways, folks, today is September the 6th. It is not anyone's birthday that I know of.
No, we did yesterday one.
Yes, yesterday and tomorrow, I think. But, okay, let's talk about some of the films that have been screening in Venice while I flip the pages because I haven't made the digital transition yet, Angelo. But I will
see. No, you're a classic guy.
Yeah, my mother says that all the time. I don't think we've talked about this, but I think you might have strong opinions about this movie, Sundown by Michel Franco.
Oh, God, yes, I do.
Right. Do you want me to tell our listeners the synopsis?
Yeah,
first?
Absolutely. You please go.
A wealthy man attempts to abandon his life while vacationing in Acapulco.
Yeah, well, this is a very short synopsis. It's true. It's not that clear, though. You know it. You understand it at the very end. There are a lot of things that are not explained or not just left to you and your personal feeling to try to make a decision about it, about what's happening. Michel Franco was here. I interviewed him, and it's a very personal film of his because he wrote it before he wrote New Order.
Oh.
And he wrote in a very a very short time, while New Order was much, much a longer pregnancy, if I may say so. But it's shot in Acapulco because he was the place where he was going when he was a kid, even if Acapulco now is completely different from back then because it's much more violent. But there is something missing in that film.
Right.
I mean, it's really fascinating. It's a movie, I mean, I didn't like it that much, but I keep on thinking about it. So it's on one side, it's a good sign.
Right.
Because it's something that sticks with you. But it's it doesn't want to tell us much, but it tells us too little.
Right.
Of my personal opinion. I have friends who loved it completely. Some of my American friends, they find it completely dull and useless and pointless. So it depends on your personal feeling. It's a weird movie, though. But there is a but. Tim Roth is amazing.
Wow, he always is, isn't he?
Yeah, I know. That's true. But because the film was written for him. Mm. And as the two guys know each other since a long time, Michelle knows a lot about Tim. So he used all the potential sides of it. And so
And Angela, I got to say, you are a true professional. I'll tell you why. Because I actually know the spoiler. Because I talked about this film with two people, and both of them told me what I should not know before I watched the film. But you did not. So
no,
you didn't spoil the film for anybody. And that's how you do it. I can't believe
this is how we want. No, we are trained to do that. You know?
Right. Yeah, you would think so.
Fred
it's surprising.
Fred trains us.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, anyways, that was Sundown.
Sundown, yeah.
Okay, another film that people have been looking forward to seeing. You know, Anna Lily Amirpour is definitely a very, very interesting film. Filmmaker. All remember A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. How awesome was that film?
Oh, that was great, fantastic.
So awesome. What about Mona Lisa and the Blood Moon? Have you seen that film?
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly like the other one. It's very interesting, though, because it has a very good narrative rhythm. So, and it's funny in many parts, because especially, I mean, the idea of this young girl that has this power of making people do what she wants.
Right.
And she's used by this very smart and clever pole dancer that uses her to steal money from people. So those two together in that part of the film is really fun because they're a weird couple of, like, criminal, if I may say so. It's really fresh. It's not perfect. It has some flaws in it, but it has a very dark end.
Right.
Which
okay.
is kind of, don't you think, it's kind of a fashion lately.
Oh, my goodness.
Of having films that start with one rhythm and with one pace and genre, and then they turn into something much, much darker.
I tell you, so far, I think I've only seen maybe two or three films at this festival that has a happy ending.
Yeah, well, this is...
That is crazy. I can't believe it, yeah. Maybe people are just think that happy ending is selling out.
I don't know, but it's weird that there is this kind of tendency of mixing genre in the same film.
Mm.
Like, if... to make it even, like, to do one step further every time towards something new.
Oh,
but this
okay.
one is, I mean, it's good, and Kate Hudson is really, really good.
Mm. Kate Hudson, yeah. She we do have an interview with her as well,
yeah,
I believe.
Absolutely. And with the director with her dog. She has her dog.
Oh my God, I saw
well,
that.
Actually, if you go to on our Fred Instagram and YouTube, there are like she did also the red carpet with the dog, which was kind of funny.
We need to have more dogs in Venice at the Venice Film Festival. That's for sure.
Is one of the. It was a very good surprise.
Great, excellent. All right, so I'm going to talk about one film very briefly. I think it's one of the highlights of the festival as far as ones I've seen. It's called Miracle, and it's a Romanian Czech Latvian co-production. But really, if you watch it, it has that Romanian feel. It has that Romanian New Wave feel. I don't know whether we can still say Romanian New Wave because how long has that been around
exactly.
for? 20 years? It's just the way Romanian. Romania is making some of the best films around now. I don't know why, I don't know how, but it's true. And Bogdan George Petri is actually sort of a newcomer to the scene. Mm-hmm. And I believe this might be the second film. In fact, he did say in the interview something that I didn't really know going in. It's kind of part of a trilogy, this film, where characters reoccur. And
okay.
to explain what this film is about is kind of difficult because essentially it's split into two chapters and it revolves around a really odd event that happens to a young nun. And the first part of the film, it has a religious tone. The second part of the film has a realistic tone. So it's almost like a contrast between the two parts. Mm-hmm. And it's just beautiful down to its details. And I've been thinking about this film a lot. I believe that, like I said, it may be one of the best in terms of tone, in terms of vision, in terms of things to say, because it's not a film that tries too hard to say, to have a message. It just has a message, mm-hmm. and it's able to communicate it in a very natural way.
Yeah, you know, a friend of mine saw it, said it was an unexpected gem.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is what he said.
When I sat down to watch the film, I'd forgotten what I was watching. And so I didn't know where that film was from, and I didn't know... I was twice as surprised.
Very good.
Unless I watched that. Entirely different film from that one, and I never realized it. But I'm sure that's not the case.
I hope not, because it would be a bad sign.
Also, I interviewed the director, so that would have been really bad. And thankfully, it has never happened to me, but I'm sure that would be quite embarrassing. So, okay, one more film to talk about, unless we have another one that we failed to mention. Would you like to talk about Ezio Bosso, The Things That Remain?
Oh, yes, I want to. I mean, it's a great, great, gigantic portrait of an even more gigantic person. Mm. It's made by the same director that did last year the one documentary on Paolo Conte.
Wow, okay.
And it's the same one, and but this one is even stronger because the Ezio Bosso persona was so huge and so big and so intense. More intense, I mean, he was an intense and very famous musician and orchestra director and performer, but he was even more a person he has such a strength, such a willpower to survive what life was shoving up in on his face, that it's a really it's inspirational a lot.
Right.
I mean, I told the director that we interviewed today that I had to stop watching the movie 3 times because I was crying too much.
Yeah,
because this knowing and seeing that the because basically Ezio Bosso was a musician that had such a serious degenerative illness that was preventing him to play is the cello, which was his instrument.
Choice.
So then he moved to piano, and then he moved to directing orchestra, and then he moved to piano because as far as the illness went stronger and worse, he couldn't do specific movement. He cannot talk that much, but he kept on going until the very last end. This was really, really breathtaking, actually.
Passed away last year, sadly. A powerful musician. I'm happy to say that you enjoyed that film. Is there anything else we should talk about? I don't think so. I think we pretty much...
I think we covered what happened.
So, speaking of music, all right, we've got a couple of things. We're going to have a round table about music, if you speak Italian, so probably if you don't, bye, ciao. And we're on the topic of music, so I want to ask you something that people who like music want to know. What was it like to interview Jimmy Page?
Oh, it was
Jimmy friggin' Page.
Jimmy freaking Page. Now, it was really a blast because the guy is so nice, so so relaxed, and so simple in its way. So, he's Jimmy Page.
Down to
for
earth.
God's sake, it's not, you know.
Jimmy Page.
It's like one of the members of the most influential rock band ever on the planet. And he apologizes as well because he was replying with too long sentences on his opinion.
Please.
Yeah. And then he was very nice because he told us that he remembers everything from the first rehearsal to the last thing that they did because I don't know and it showed in the documentary as well. He keeps this diaries, little diaries, where it's written so he had tons of them.
Yeah.
Every single thing that Led Zeppelin did musically is written down on those diaries. So
he
can
clever.
Just go back, flip it until he finds the right memory. No, it was a pleasure. I was in awe of him.
Yeah.
Completely.
Now imagine talking to Jimmy Page and Jimmy Page apologizing because he talks too much.
Talks too much.
That
yeah.
is
no,
incredible.
Because and this is a sign. This is a sign for all the press offices around the world. He would have loved to stay longer.
Yes.
But they cut it shorter because you know here everybody's in a rush.
We got such a relaxed atmosphere here. We got the swinging chairs.
Yeah,
we got smiles
nice.
In our faces.
And I was so annoyed with myself that I didn't bring the first 45 of Black Dog that they bought in 71.
Wow, Black Dog.
And I didn't
sing
remember.
Us a little bit of that song.
You could, yeah. No.
Maybe some other time. I'll bring the guitar tomorrow and we can sing it then.
Well, you can sing. Maybe it's easier for you to play like him than for me to sing like Rubber Plant, which is really not the case.
That's quite a statement. I don't think I can ever. Not many people can play like Rubber Friggin' Plant. Jimmy
Friggin' Page.
Well, Robert Friggin' Plant also
okay,
works. All right, okay,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
The same way.
Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow we will hopefully be talking about a couple of more films. We've got a former Golden Lion winner arriving in Venice with The Box. His name, of course, is filmmaker Lorenzo Vigas. I hope I'm saying his name right.
Yeah, he's a winner of like 5 years ago, five or 6 years ago.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my goodness. And we've got a Taiwanese film called The Falls in the Horizonte section. We've got Catholic School. We've got a lot of things, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Keep an eye out.
We have something to say. Oh. Not a very nice thing to say, because we've just been told that Jean-Paul Belmondo passed away today. It's a hell of a stupid year, this one, you know.
Everybody, oh my goodness,
all the best ones are going.
Was here, I think, 3 years ago. I went to the press conference. I'm a huge Jean-Paul Belmondo fan. How can you not be? He was in so many great films of the time from France, you know. I mean,
and he was the
unbelievable
tombeur de femme.
He was one of the ultimate leading men in Europe and in the entire world around his time. Everybody was trying to be like him. He was there, and I could see that he was kind of, he was in pain. You know, he wasn't, but he was such a professional that he put on the show.
Yeah, because he
answered all of the questions like he was, like it was 1968. And he was the top star in the world. And he was still the ladies' man, and he was reveling in that, and it was just awesome to see him. And it's sad to
say. So it's sad to say so goodbye.
Another
Jean-Paul.
Hero, another and, hero has passed. Well, on that note, keep checking out all of our content. Fred Film Radio is media partner of everything in Venice, including things that have anything to do with the festival.
But we are there.
But we're there. And check out all of our content on video and audio. Check out fred.fm and social media. Till the next time, stay healthy, stay safe, stay strong, stay cinephile. I'm Matt Micucci.
I'm Angela Cherby.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the festival
insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.